You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
Welcome to the New Old Heads podcast. Yes! Da-da-da-da! Yeah. So another week without Major Seventh doing his intro. Red August is here. Red August is happy about that. So, episode 254 of these things. So, welcome, Red August, J Diff, J Moore. I like this whole free floating effect, you know, so just say hi or however you want to say.
Salutations.
How's it going?
Going all right, man.
All right,
great.
Yeah, it's doing pretty awesome. Doing pretty good. Do we have any random topics in the chat? You can throw one in there if you got any. But yeah, another day, another week, another episode.
Does anybody talk about? I don't know why I just thought of this, but it was this past weekend of 25 years that we've been without Tupac.
It's crazy.
Tupac Shakur.
It's crazy, partially because, like, you know how you talk to your parents or whatever, they could tell you exactly where they were when JFK was killed or when Dr. King was killed. I know exactly where I was and what I was doing when Biggie and Tupac were killed.
I do too.
You know, when this is my sophomore year of college, when I was going to Neely Hall to get my man Deontay Hoover. We were going to this party. And then he's watching MTV, and I see Kurt Loder come across the screen, like, rapper Tupac Shakur, you know, has passed away. You know, it was about 7 o'clock Midwest time that I found out, you know, once again, before social media. So things moved a little bit slower at that point. Yeah. But, you know, it's crazy. I was 19. Yeah, I was 19 when Pac died, and he was 25. And when you're 19, 25 seems like so far away. You know, but, you know, now I'm 44 and now I see pictures of Tupac from that time, especially when he's on death row, and all I see is a scared kid, you know? So it's just kind of crazy with the perspective of where you are in your life and, you know, and how you just,
I didn't really seem as scared though.
When I look at that last picture,
it's almost like he knew something was about to happen.
And then there are other pictures you see, you just be like, man, this kid just wanted somebody to really give him some, you know, he just needed somebody to give him some game and tell him to slow down. You know,
they tried.
I see the same thing for Big. If somebody was just, somebody could have just gave him a little bit of game, be like, hey man, you really need to get out of LA. You can't be out here kicking it like this. You know,
no, I think Tupac really, honestly,
or Vegas rather, that was LA. Big should have got out of LA.
I've heard stories where, matter of fact, it was a story where Shock G said he was with him at a party somewhere, and it was some cats in there that pocket pretty much dissed or did something too. And he's like, man, they talking about they want to kill you. He's like, I don't care, I ain't going nowhere. It's like, I honestly think Tupac, he took on that persona and ran with it, man. I think it was almost like a Heath Ledger type thing. Mm. I don't know.
Tupac. There's some other random, I don't know, shouts to Brotherton the Night for bringing this up, but you guys see the Gibbs line about dissing Kendrick?
Yeah.
So Freddie Gibbs, I guess you could say he took a shot at Kendrick Lamar on his Vice Lord Poetry freestyle, which I believe that was Champagne Poetry.
Yeah, from Drake.
Drake's project. That was the intro, right?
Yeah, it was the first
which
track.
Which was the Masego
sample. Masego flip, right? Yeah. Which was a Beatles flip. But yeah, he says in that line, the earth ain't big enough for both of us. You got to get done. They say they smoke in top fives, but you ain't burnt up the one. FN talking bout, like every time I hit the booth, I don't leave that B with a body count. Smoking Fives lyrics are a response to Kendrick's verse on his Baby Keem collaboration, Family Ties.
This is where
he says he's smoking on your.
This is
top
the
five
talk
tonight.
I like. Yeah. I like this real spicy, like, nah, fam, I'm the best talk.
Yeah.
I like Gibbs.
Good energy.
I like the fact
good rap energy.
Gibbs feels like I want to talk about you. You need, if you talked about these other folks, you need to be talking about me.
Right.
You need to be worried about how I'm on a run that you're not really ready to talk about, you know, cause Gibbs is on a run right
He's
now.
He's definitely on a run. I give him that. He is taking no shorts and no losses. And it's crazy cause us being, you know, an Indiana podcast, Indianapolis, I remember Gibbs, his hustle game. Like even that Circle City Classic, passing out CDs and stuff like for free,
like 2005 and stuff like that.
Early, you know what I'm saying? And he's been going since then, and he got hurt, and he kept his foot on the gas, just kept going, and it's a good look for him, man. Because I mean, he earned the right to include himself in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
we'll see what transpires, but. He kind of got off on that.
Yeah, I liked it.
Vice Lord.
Freddie's been dropping yearly. So, you know, he's not letting his foot off the gas. And I just feel like he's probably, he got one ready. Probably we might get a Freddie Gibbs project by the end of this year.
Probably what? Will.
Didn't, I could be butchering this, but I thought that he said that him and Madlib had three.
Oh.
So I think they got another one coming at some point. I could be way wrong, but I almost feel like I read that somewhere. But what do you think, Mike?
I like it. Like, I like the...
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot. No, I like the... Like, when people get, like, slick, you know, just, like, and not afraid to go at each other. I mean, like Jay Moore said. I mean, it's been... Like, Kendrick has been, like, held high for years. And now, like, somebody, like, that's worthy of like, that same wordplay or whatever and just, like, cockiness. I like it. I think it'll be good. I don't know if he'll respond.
Is it? I mean, you know what's funny? Is Kendrick baiting people at this point? Because, I mean, it's not even like that was like a immaculate verse or anything. He just said,
I didn't even hear it.
I'm smoking on top fives tonight. You know, and he was rapping in a real weird type voice. He was doing like some Lil Dicky type rhymes and stuff on there. So it wasn't even like he was really trying to get at anybody.
Right.
Like he can do.
Some people,
but for Gibbs to pick up on it and run with it is exactly what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I think it's cool. I mean, like you guys said, it's not like this weird beef that we were talking about in the last few weeks, you know, where there's really no music involved. It's just, and you don't even know if it's really beef. You know, it's just kind of weird. This is like, it's like responding in song and they're going back and forth. And it's not even really that big of a deal. You know what I mean? It's not like something to be like, oh, man. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, Gibbs, I don't think they're going to shoot at each other or nothing.
Taking his claim, yeah.
I saw a Jadakiss interview recently about that same thing, just how, like, beef nowadays, like, it's not even about music. It's about social media and putting out videos or whatever, trying to clown the other person, but not really, like in the music, in the booth like it used to be.
Yeah.
It was a good interview.
No, they used to get serious back then. I remember when Game got kicked out of G Unit. Remember they was in New York shooting at each other. Leaving the radio station or something.
They haven't been able to go back to Hot 97 since.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, those are our intro conversations. That's to Freddie Gibbs.
Yeah.
That's to Kendrick Lamar. It's creeping his way back. It's kind of cool. And of course, Tupac. But our first topic tonight is, let's see, what do we have here? All right. So the reason why I'm sharing this is because of the type of statement that he made. Tyrese calls out artists for gigantic antics 5 months after a pubic hair stunt. All right.
What?
But shouts to Hip Hop DX.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, unfortunately. All right.
I don't even know that, which is fine. I don't even need to.
Yeah, we no, don't, no, we no. Even, no
we
don't
need
no,
to go
no.
there. But
not hip to that one.
He was taking care of his lady in a special way.
Ah, I see.
Okay. He was with, you know, making sure she was had a clean house.
Gotcha.
His Medicare.
Medicare.
She had a clean house.
Yeah.
But I think he made something along the lines of the thing that I want to kind of bring up is his conversation about, I remember when I saw the headline I don't know if this was a headline or what, where I saw that, but it was something along the lines of back when people were famous for talent rather than their antics. And even if he didn't say any of this, it doesn't really matter. My question is this. Has anybody ever, when has talent had anything to do with popularity?
Most of the time it doesn't.
Like, it's never, one, it's never the whole thing. Never the driving force.
It's not even like half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, if it was just about talent, we would talk about Kiki Wyatt a lot more than we talk about Ariana Grande.
Straight up.
You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're just going to talk about singing talent, or we talk about, if it was just about being able to rap, you know, we'd have talked about, you know, somebody, we'd talk
Black Thought would be more than just the rapper / host on a night show.
Yeah. People wouldn't have to be surprised when Black Thought blacked out literally with that Funkmaster Flex freestyle. Yeah. And then all of a sudden be like, hey, who was this Black Thought guy? You mean the guy that's been giving you classic verses for 25 years? Yeah, that's who you're talking about.
Yeah.
So there's always been an extra component as far as publicity, a goofiness that has, like, I watched, of all things, the making of a hit. It was about this thing they did advice about the song Who Let the Dogs Out, of all songs. But it was just like, nothing against those guys, but, you know, they really had to, like, catch lightning in a bottle and do something a little bit goofy and take something that had already been established, because, you know, that's Who Let the Dogs Out was actually a, you know, sort of a flip or a remake, if you will. Yeah. And so, like, and then they're like, instead of taking it to program directors, they took it to all the teams that, the Major League Baseball teams, and had it be the walk up music.
Licensed it.
It wasn't even licensed. It was just like, oh, you're going to, every night, Who Let the Dogs Out is going to play for 50,000 people in this baseball stadium. So eventually, that's how they were able to get the song on, you know, Z100 in New York, because it was a big song at the Yankees and the Mets games. And so people were like, hey, what is this song? And they were calling the, so it had nothing to, like, the people who actually programmed radio were like, no, this is trash.
I have Tyrese's quote here. Everything has become one gigantic antic. Award shows, social media, and life feels like one gigantic antic. I miss the days when popularity was actually based on talent, all caps, hit records and hit movies. So I will sit back like most and continue to watch the hit shows. I guess it's all entertainment, right? Lol.
Look, the biggest movie, the movie that usually makes, it wins all the Oscars, is never like the blockbuster movie.
It's never
some,
the best one.
Some like
we talk about Beck all the time.
The English Patient or some mess, like, you know, something that
Beck,
you know,
is consistent. English
Patient. You know, yeah. I don't know. I just remember one year, like, this movie called Out of Africa. It's some stuff that you probably had never even seen, but, you know, the critics were all over it.
Driving Miss Daisy beat out Glory.
Yeah, in the same year where Do the Right Thing wasn't even nominated.
Yeah,
so come on, like, man. Don't, you know?
We talking about
award
talent.
Shows are antics just in of themselves.
I mean,
we're talking about talent, though.
I think a lot of it had to do with Biscuits and Gravy.
Yeah, shout out to Major 7.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the biggest part of Glory.
Exactly, but no, I mean, even Jay-Z said, "If lyrics so, which equates to talent." Lyrically, I'd be Talib Kweli, but I sold 5 million. I ain't been rhyming like Common Sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He might have jumped the gun on that Talib Kweli line.
He might have, because his track record may not have been as good, but I mean, he said that in, what, 2003?
I mean, Get By
was
the song at that point.
So, yeah. I mean,
Reflection Eternal was still fresh in people's minds.
I don't really remember when talent, you know what I'm saying, was the forefront of popularity.
Michael Jackson?
I mean, he was popular and talented, though.
Man, Prince?
Popular and talented.
Right. You know what I mean?
But there's always, look, we see, and this is
I mean, the Beatles was more popularity than talent.
Yeah, definitely.
At the beginning, yes, you'll definitely say that. It was just like, hey, look at these.
I mean, they turned into great musicians.
Mm-hmm. Look at these. You
know, but Quincy Jones still kill Ringo Starr on the drums. So.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, rightfully so.
You know, I just think now, I think the spectacle is more the thing. Like, I don't want to diss like Lady Gaga, but like now everybody is trying to do their late, especially female artists. They're trying to do their own version like of Lady Gaga when they, between the MTV Awards, which were on Sunday, and then like the Met Gala, you know, somebody asked me is like, what is the theme of the Met Gala? And because I'm old, I just look at the pictures and I'm like, foolishness, you know, because it's like, all right, what are you really trying to prove here? You know, it's then all about
pay somebody a whole bunch of money to put on a monkey suit, essentially.
Yeah. And it's all about the spectacle. To, you know, you're just trying to one up the next person, not through your singing ability.
Did y'all see how popular Megan Thee Stallion's feet was?
No.
No, I missed that.
Oh, yeah, it's hammer time, Jack.
Oh, for real. She got, Eddie Murphy would have.
Yeah, he would like. She would have got kicked out the penthouse.
Oh, man. That's, you know, I mean, you can't have everything, baby. But I think that's that it really is now, like, I was going to take it down to just female entertainers, but it's for everybody now. Everybody got to show up and just do whatever. Hey, it's all, hey, look at me. Even if they're not talented.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you're good enough with the, hey, look at me, you don't have to be talented. But no, you know what? There's always been an aspect of that. I remember when Cher, like everybody wanted to talk about Lady Gaga. I remember when Cher used to show up in real wild outfits.
Her butt cheeks used to be out before Prince's was.
Exactly. Like, you know, and she was doing Moonstruck or whatever, you know, winning actual awards. But it was just like,
is Rocky Dennis's mama.
Oh, wow. Once again, if you had cable in the '80s, that's a movie that came on all. Was it Mask?
Mask, yeah,
yeah. That's a movie that came on just all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out to Rocky Dennis. Let me Gar. Stop. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think that's where that's not just where we are now. That's where we've been for quite a long time.
Yeah, straight up. I mean, you guys think that it's going to change?
No,
especially not with social media at the forefront of everything. I mean, literally, you can make a TikTok video or Instagram post tomorrow and be on because it was a popular post. It went viral, essentially.
Yeah.
There's people making money off of going viral and being popular. Now, who's to say that they'll stick around till next year? Capitalize on that moment. That's all you can do.
Man, he's just salty. Like, I think it's nice when the cameras and everything, all the focus is on you, but now that he's not like A-list or doing anything now anymore outside
and
of
he got the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, he's not even a focal point in that, so it's just like, I just think he's bitter. Like,
man, I don't think he's bitter.
He better just get that check and be cool.
Look, he comes from a different era, and he just got to get with the look. Tyrese is, for whatever you got to say about his personal life and the goofy stuff that he's done in the last few years.
It's like, been a lot.
The whole, what more do you want from me and all that.
Oh, that was him. That's right.
I just want my baby.
Tyrese is a good singer.
He is.
And you know what? He's
he did This Is How We Do It, right?
So here you go.
Here you and go. He also is a good actor.
Yeah, he's a good singer. Unfortunately, he just didn't have a Confessions, unfortunately. Right. But he got some good.
He's good in Four Brothers stuff. He's all right in that.
Yeah, he was good. He did a movie called Annapolis. Like, you know, he has a nice body of work. I'm not gonna say he doesn't.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when it's signing on someone else, like, you can't get mad because you were getting that same treatment and same attention, like making all the movies.
Yeah, and the thing is, things move quickly. Something will happen for Tyrese, and all of a sudden he's gonna be back in front of, like, he's got some Marvel movie, like Morbius. I don't know about Morbius. It's like,
nope.
I didn't understand why they would make a whole movie. It was like some vampire that exists in the Spider-Man universe.
Oh, yeah,
I remember.
He's in that?
Yeah. Like, and so they did like two of those movies already.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, say Morbius is a hit, and all of a sudden he's on those red carpets again.
But it ain't even
you
like
what's he gonna say.
Ain't even
you
like
he's gonna be right back. Fighting. He gonna be right there with them same people who are, he says, are doing.
It's
goofy.
Not even like I. You can't sit there and tell me that Tyrese does not get invited to these events.
I know
whether
he
whether he goes or not is a different thing. But I mean, he's not technically, he's not a B-list celebrity.
No, dog was in Transformers.
Yeah,
movies.
He's been in some great movies.
Yeah, but that was how many years ago?
And franchises. I mean, the last Fast and the Furious hasn't even been out a year yet.
Yeah, it's still in a movie theater.
Yeah.
even before that, he was, I mean, I feel like he was falling out of good graces with them anyway, because
they was mad at The Rock. They was mad at The Rock because The Rock
had Hobbs and Shaw thing going on.
I mean, we talking about The Rock, though. The Rock excels at everything he does in life. He's just one of those anomalies.
When somebody bigger and better comes along, he gets like, he's always got to put up he's on social media. That shit.
Like, somebody just needs to take time.
He just won his baby.
That's just all that does. But yeah, look, talent has always been, if you're talking about a pie, talent
what
has
kind of pie?
An apple pie.
Okay.
Okay, if you're talking about an apple pie, sweet potato pie, just depending on who's listening. We know
that's a zero.
How you like to get down?
You know it's pumpkin pie season.
They had pumpkin spice
and all that good stuff.
Anyway, talent has always been the smallest sliver to the pie when it comes to somebody's success. Yeah. All right, it's marketing, it's promotion, it's public relations, it's who can get image. You on what screen and what jacket you're going to wear. You know, like I said, I came in here a few weeks ago and talked about, you know, the singer Cleo Soul. Like, if that was just talent and if it was just about the quality of music, we'd talk about her and we'd hear about her all the time.
Yeah.
But we don't, because, like, you know, she doesn't have that machine. She probably just does her music and goes home across the pond too. That too.
And but, so she might be a little more popping over there versus over here.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, when it was Amy Winehouse's turn and when she was, you know, unfortunately, we got all into the fact that she had real problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people related to her on that end, on top of the fact that she was extremely talented. You know, so there's, once again, we always find the talent if there's a machine behind it.
Yeah.
For sure. If
there's a machine behind it.
Exactly. Because there has to be a machine.
Yeah.
Because we've even talked about, like, image and how people portray these artists and things like that. Somebody like, remember even an LL Cool J song, what was it, Doing It? With a chick that's actually doing the verse.
LaShawn.
Yeah, she's not even in the video or anything based on image. So the person that had the talent isn't even getting propelled or put on a pedestal. They're putting someone else in that person's place. I think the same thing happened with, like, Kelly Price at one point in time before she kind of broke through the ceiling.
Well, the perfect example is Martha Walsh. She was in this group with the Weather Girls talking about It's Raining Men. Mm-hmm. But, like, she was the voice on, you know, Take You Back a Little Ways when we talk about CNC Music Factory, Gonna Make You Sweat.
Yeah.
That was her voice.
Yeah.
But then they found a model named Zelma Davis to be in the video. But then they did the same thing with this group called Black Box, and they had a song called Strike It Up. It was the same voice.
It's the same voice. All them jock jams is the same person.
It's the same voice.
They do it differently now because we're in the era when they don't remove people completely. What they'll do is they'll buy the song off of them or something to that effect. Or they'll get multiple songwriters. That's why where you see Drake doing the stuff that he's doing and a lot of the popular artists. It's just back then they tried to sell it as like, this is this person and this other person had like nothing to do with it. Unless you like Doug, you know.
Yeah.
But nowadays it's like standard.
Yeah.
You know?
Get your monies either way.
Yeah. So, all right, then. All right, then, Mike.
Don't sell accents.
You selling insurance now?
All right, then, Mike.
Liberty Blue Chew. Wrong company.
All right, let's go into this next topic here.
Oh, the lizard dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, they ain't give us no money.
We're not shouting them out, but yeah. It's one of my favorite insurance is when it goes blibbity blibbity blibbity. But let's see. All right, so the next topic is pretty much talking about streaming. And you know, we've talked about this in the past a handful of times. The take this week is going to be kind of around, I mean, obviously Drake unseating Michael Jackson and the Beatles with new Billboard record. I think has like 9 singles.
No, he has the entire Billboard top 10 singles are Drake songs.
All Drake songs. Okay. I saw this this comment online. We're going to talk about multiple elements of streaming here, but it said, buy an album once and listen to it as much as you want. It's still one unit. Stream that a million times and it's platinum. It's not the same. How do you think, how soon, I'm going to say it this way, how soon do you think that we will see a change in how they tally up music?
Mm.
And do you think it would be, I guess it probably won't be retroactive, but I think, do you guys think that it needs to change?
I don't think it needs to change. I just think this right now, this is our reality. That streaming is what it is. Nobody sells physical units of anything anymore. But we need to, and I said this a couple weeks ago, maybe it was a week ago, we need to start putting asterisks by people's names if they break. If Drake breaks a Michael Jackson record, it's not the same, fam. Like, because if Thriller came out in a streaming era, then all nine of those songs would be just moving between the top 10 at any given time. You know, like Michael released 7 singles off of Thriller. You know, he easily at that point, and honestly, if they'd have been counting BDS at that time, and if, for those of you who don't know what BDS is, it is basically how they count how a song gets played on the radio. They didn't have BDS at the time of Thriller. Probably Lady in My Life would have been the 8th single to chart because that was a Quiet Storm staple at one point.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, you can't say, oh, Drake broke Michael Jackson's record. Because Michael Jackson had to put out, and the Beatles had to put out one single at a time.
Yeah.
It had to be consumed. Right. You had to consume things one record at a time, and the record company would be like, okay, this one's got the it's getting to its burn stage now. Now is the time for us to release another one. A new video. Let's go ahead and work a new song to radio, and then that song can get on the charts.
Yeah.
There was no having every song on your album chart on I think there need to be asterisks because, like,
well, the that is a change technically, right?
It's a change, yeah. You know, like I said, there's a difference in the way technology moves.
You have to make it make sense when you're comparing. We're not comparing apples and apples. You're comparing the famous phrase apples and oranges.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can have a paid subscription to any service. I might pay $10 a month. I have access to every album under the sun. You know what I'm saying? So that artist is not getting that 10.
Correct.
So if I'm selling you an album, I'm getting that 10 or whatever the percentage is on it, whatever the record company took in my percentage, you're still eating better off that album versus a streaming song. Now,
if it's streamed, not if it's purchased.
Then that's not even including when they're selling singles to these songs, because they was dropping the whole album and dropping singles with like instrumentals and B-sides and whatever on it.
Right.
So they're eating off that album more than once and they're going on tour versus now the money stream isn't as great from the streaming service. They have to tour in order to make this money. Unless
it depends how big you are.
Well, yeah, that's what I was getting to it. Depending on how your paperwork is set up and if you own your masters and all that, stuff.
I saw a video where 21 Savage said that he owns 70% of everything and he actually makes more money off of streaming than he does from touring, which is...
I mean, it's incredible.
Which is incredible.
That's the way he structured his deal, though.
A 70% deal is great.
Yeah.
You know.
But also, we just have to look at... I don't know. Like, okay, we'll just take it out of the realm of music real quick. When you think about movies, like someone will say, oh, look at all this money the, you know, so-and-so maybe an Avengers movie made. Okay, it did, but a ticket, the average price of a ticket is $10. All right. And then when you see, oh, it did, you know, it blew Jaws out of the water, you know, no pun intended. But when it was time to go see Jaws, a price of a ticket might have been $1.75, $2.
Right.
So it's almost like you have to do an adjustment for inflation.
Oh, we lost internet. We're still recording though, right?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Okay.
We'll just keep that going, then when it comes back on, we'll just keep it moving.
Okay. Okay, but that's the thing. A lot of times when you see, oh, this is the new box office champion, it is, but when you adjust for inflation, you know, nothing made more money than Star Wars, you mm-hmm. know, but of course a ticket, you know, to see the original Star Wars would have been like
$3
or 75 cents or whatever. I don't know. But like, all I know is, you know, by the time this last Star Wars came out, I had to pay $7 to go see it during the daytime.
During the day. That used to be the evening price.
Yeah.
Evening.
Yeah. I feel like something needs to change as far. And this is, again, if we even care about how we count streams, right? But I honestly don't even know. And it goes to the fact probably that I don't care as much about like the popularity and how people count how many records. But do you know how they count how many streams equals an album sold and all that stuff? And
I remember posting it not too long ago. It's something like 1,500 streams equals like a single.
Like, how do you quantify that? Like, how do you?
Like, you know, there's like, that's been the conversation.
What is a stream say? What's the value of a listen?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And you have somebody has to listen to your record, you know, 7,500 times. Like, and I could be wrong on that number, but it's, and then that equals a record sold,
right?
You know, and I'm like, no, a record sold is still a record sold.
Yeah,
you know, like to say, like we talk about it. You wouldn't have listened to Drake's album if it weren't for this show. Same thing I sort of felt about Kanye, where like I'd have checked it out, but I was like, all right, let me make sure I listen to every song a couple of times so I have at least some sort of learned experience with it, and I can talk about it intelligently. You know, people didn't listen to records they didn't want to listen to back in the day.
Yeah.
Now everybody listens to everything.
If it was an artist that you messed with and was a popular artist, people would at least check it out. But I mean,
you know what they do? They'd go to those little sound stations at the they'd listen to it and then be like, "Yeah, I'm not taking this home." But now
one of their partners got it and they just borrowed it from them and dubbed a copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, you know, just think every time someone even if they don't have any real value on it, there are people who will listen to certain songs three or four. But, you know, like the top song off that Drake's album is a song called Too Sexy, which I think is awful. I think it's a terrible record. I understand why it works. When it's in the club. Look,
terrible.
That is the thing. Like, even when I worked in radio, I always said, and I'll repeat this as many times for people who are artists who get to know, who want to know. Don't ask me if I like it. Ask me if I think it'll work. When I heard Too Sexy, I was like, this is a horrible song, but it's going to be a hit. And when it came on in the club this past Friday and Saturday, like, it was like cheers of joy. Like, when it didn't work last week, just 7 days ago, people were just like, eh. Now that it's actually a hit and it's made its way into the culture a little bit, now you can't get away with not playing that.
People don't even have real fun. That's a true testament of people don't have their own fun. They wait for other people
to like it.
Yeah, other people have to like it first. Then all of a sudden it becomes fun. And then they play with it for a little while and they get rid of it like one of Andy's toys on Toy Story.
So how do you even like, okay, so, because I was just thinking that, like, how do you even know what's really popular then? If I'm just waiting on you to say it's okay, I don't really like that. You know what I mean? It's like,
no,
I'm so...
I see, once again, and this is the experience I have working in nightclubs. I see how sometimes culture works in real time, because sometimes people get over things quickly, and sometimes this is what I hate is like certain songs just live forever. Like, it's so long where some of these records by, say, Cardi B, like the song she put out Up this past summer, that song still goes in the club, you know. But then there are a couple songs by Megan Thee Stallion, people are like, yeah, we're over it. No, we're done with that. We can see how things move in real time. You know, will this Drake song live in real time? I don't know. Like, it could be big this weekend, but in 2 weeks, people would be like, man, if you play this, we're going to go get a drink. You know what I'm saying? And like, I see how it works. Like, that's why
it's so fickle and it's so.
That's why I don't look at the charts. I look at I look at the people.
But even with the people, though, here's my argument always with the club. It's like, even with the people, it's still all biased. It's still all based upon
who other people like it.
To what other people like. So there's no merit. There's no merit to that. It's like, that's why the popularity argument, in my opinion, is always just dumb.
It's just like on social media, if an influencer tells you that this is cool, all of a sudden it's cool. Okay, well, since they said they like it, so it must be cool. So I must make myself enjoy this.
Yeah.
Or at least for the moment.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it earlier. It's like, or whatever's, it just depends. It just depends, like, who's pushing it at what point in time. Like, did it get, is it in the
algorithm?
The algorithm of people that push it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, is it in the system of pushing the product? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's not, then you're not going to blow up. It doesn't matter how talented you are.
It's almost like nowadays, there's a budget for that.
Yeah.
So let's budget this group of people pushing this so that even if it's trash, they're going to make people or trick people into thinking that it's actually good. Mm. And so it comes across as it worked.
You can only trick people for so long, though.
I don't know.
But well,
that's true.
But that's
as long as you get a return on your investment, that's all that matters.
You know, because I've seen,
it doesn't matter though.
I've seen people turn on songs that had been bought and paid for, and all of a sudden people were like, I've seen people boo DJs for playing a song like it was a song that worked a week ago, and then the next week they've booed the DJ for playing it.
It's a DJ get booed.
Yeah, hey man, I've been doing this a long time, but yeah.
To your point though, I forgot what I was gonna say. So you know.
No, but you know, and I look, it's
microwave culture is what I was saying.
It's microwave culture, but then again, there's.
And it's just a song. Like, it's a song. If the song sucks, then he'll put out another song tomorrow, and then that song will turn it. I mean, think about this show, right? Think about what we do on this show, and we were talking about a pre-show stuff. Like, we have a full episode that we take all this time to put into and all this stuff, right? We get most of our views and most of our engagements off of 15 to 30 to minute clips. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking like 5,000%, you know, like it's crazy how like most
people want to get in and get out,
it out and keep it moving. It's just the way, it's just where we're at now.
Cause there's so much media,
so much to consume. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, and to my point, I feel like that's why we kind of have to, if we're going to continue to make this like a thing, like Billboard records and all this stuff, we have to completely re-examine what that means, because it's not what it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. Not that it's necessarily a bad thing or anything like that. It's just different.
It was funny. I mean, because I know I use the Michael Jackson analogy as far as him being a pop star. But when we're talking about what he did sales-wise, and you're talking about what somebody did in a week, it's almost disrespectful. Mm. You know what I'm saying? To say, well, he streamed such and such to so many people, and Michael Jackson only sold. You're saying he only sold
27 million records.
Come on, man. That doesn't even equate. It doesn't make sense for you to talk about someone that, if this album came out at 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody that has a subscription or not can literally listen to the album right now, mm-hmm. versus me having to wait, get up, go to a record store,
put effort into it.
You know what I'm saying? Buy the album. And then it go from there.
Yeah. I put no effort into listening to Donda. I put no effort into listening to Certified.
It's not even the same listening experience. And we've talked about that.
Pretty Lover Boy.
Yeah. Pretty Lover Boy.
But you know, it's like, and we talked about Boosie before, but like when you talk about like a machine that's behind somebody, I don't know if he has a machine at all, but all I know is like Boosie has records that I've never heard on the radio. I've never seen on TV. But if you, there are certain, like, if you play Set It Off.
Oh, yeah, it's going up.
That wasn't a single. Mm-mm. You know, that wasn't a song that was pushed by anybody. Like, that's just something that is a part of culture.
Yeah.
You know, like, they play that at LSU football games.
There's always anomalies, right? They're always going to be the anomaly people, and they're always going to be people that grind it in the underground like that. But
Boosie got like 5 or 6 songs like that. It's just kind of crazy. Here's somebody
been around for years, though.
He really got more than that.
Yeah.
You'd be modest.
Here's somebody that really the industry don't want at this point. But
Listen, man.
The thing about it is, I mean, he's
talking about
an independent artist, so it doesn't matter if industry wants him or not.
Yeah,
he has his own lane. He can do whatever he wants. He can say whatever he wants, and he can be upset about whatever he wants, and it's not going to jive any of his fans or
numbers.
That's why
it doesn't matter to him whenever he catches flack in the media about something he said.
He'll be like, yeah, you're going to say that, but you know what?
All these people are telling me that I'm they're rooting for me.
These are people who were never coming to my shows,
exactly,
who never bought my records, who don't even really know who I am until I say something that makes them mad.
And now actually it's doing me justice because more people know who I am now. Whether you listen to it or not, you know who I am.
Bad.
Yeah, so it just depends on where you want to be in the game.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. Well, that's streaming. The other thing I was going to talk. Let's run the partners real quick, and then we'll talk about the a little bit before we jump into the last topic. But
yeah.
Partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. Sun King Brewery is what we're drinking on every episode. Check out their many local locations, and they might just be selling in your city if you're not in Indianapolis. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
We back?
Yep, just got back.
We bike?
Back, man.
Bike.
Yeah.
So the one other thing that I wanted to mention real quick, and of course, shouts to everybody that I need to be shouting to. There was this article, and I don't know if Mike may just drop this in there or not, but there's this potential new streaming service, and I've read about it a little bit. And have you guys heard of Loyalty Tunes, the idea of this?
Yeah. I mean, I've read a little bit about it. I've seen, I think
I'm not hip.
Yeah.
So the Loyalty Tunes thing is, this guy, it's, I think it's this, you guys are like looking very intently. It's guy, are we good?
Yeah.
So there's this streaming platform that wants to pay people based upon subscriptions, like $4 a subscriptions or something, because streaming is obviously, artists don't get paid anything for it, right? And the idea is, this Loyalty Tunes thing is, subscriptions are $10 a month. You'll get exclusive music. Subscribers will receive other benefits, including up to, sounds like, water.
Like a lot of
it's
water.
Like raining really hard. I feel like my window's dripping. But anyways,
sounds inside.
It might be. I have to go check that out in a moment.
Yeah.
So Loyalty Tunes will pay music creators $4 per subscription per month. But anyways, so you'll get exclusive music. Subscribers will receive benefits, including up to 70% off of hotels and vacations worldwide, and discounts at participating grocery stores and restaurants, as well as amazing deals on clothing and jewelry via their own Loyalty Tunes e-commerce. What is so funny?
They just said, oh.
Mike in the chat.
Oh. They're dripping like Terry's curl.
I'm just mad he couldn't have a curl. So.
I'll save some of this water for you. But yeah, I think the thing about this, really quick before we jump to the last topic, I thought it was interesting because when I was thinking about it, I was like, there's no like subscription streaming service is going to make sense. It's really going to work outside of really what's happening. But this is interesting because they're coupling in like discounts at grocery stores and restaurants and 70% off hotels. You know, maybe people will do that instead.
Sounds like
of Spotify.
Cool idea. Cool.
Yeah,
cool
yeah idea. Until they realize it.
I mean, all I got to do is look on one of them websites that group everything together and find me a discount. Really,
so it's like
true.
It's like Spotify and Groupon in one.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and like when I say that, I know we're laughing, but I'm not trying to down it because you know everybody has these ideas, and you know it might work.
It sounds like it's the reason why I'm even bringing it up is because it seems like it might. They might be onto something. Like there might maybe, you know, like if it it's coupled with something else to where you're spending. I don't know.
I mean, they're gonna have to they're gonna have to give some money out, some concert tickets. Because somebody dropping some exclusive content, it's like, okay, well, who is this artist that's dropping this exclusive song on this streaming platform?
Yeah.
I mean, even on Tidal, there is no songs that you can only hear on Tidal. And there are like some exclusive like videos and things like that. Yeah. Well, I mean, once you cross into making a song, how exclusive is that going to be in today's day and age?
Well, no, because the thing is, remember when Jay-Z did the partnership with Samsung?
Mm-hmm.
What was that for the Magna Carta?
Magna Carta. It was on Samsung, and every phone, everybody had a Samsung. It was automatically on your phone immediately.
Yeah, but I remember it wasn't that long after that that somebody just inboxed me the entire album.
Yeah.
You know, so even with exclusive content, in a digital era, you could only have exclusive content for so long.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not going to work like that. And I mean, if we're being honest here, when it comes to streaming, YouTube is probably number one.
It is.
iTunes is probably number two.
It's up there.
Spotify
or Apple Music.
Now,
yeah,
now
it's not iTunes anymore.
Well, even Google Play Music is now YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so
but I mean, YouTube was ahead even before Google tried to do
and then Tidal. So I mean, I don't really, at this point, I don't think
it's not going away.
Anybody needs another streaming platform. So unless you're, basically it comes down to this, and I've been noticing by listening to both iTunes and YouTube Music, based on your history. Like, I have more history in iTunes because that's where everything started as far as buying things. So the algorithm in iTunes is actually a little better than my YouTube playlist.
As you use it
just
more
because
often.
It's been, well, actually I use the Google one often or YouTube, right. But this one has been tracking my music since it came out versus this other one. It's like, if you forgot to add something, it's not popping up in your queue.
I see.
There's music that comes up on iTunes that I may have forgot that I even had. But it's going off that history and building around it.
Mm.
So when you get a new music platform, you're pretty much playing catch up with all these other ones as far as making your streaming algorithm or your listening time a little better.
I guess it also probably depends on like how you listen to. Like,
yeah.
I don't ever go to like Spotify and do anything where like it plays, suggests songs for me or anything like that. I intently go and listen to specific things and then.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a little bit different depending on what you listen for.
Well, sometimes you can just pick a song and it'll just start playing.
Yeah, that's like Pandora.
Yeah.
Pandora's like
Pandora.
That.
Pandora was good, very good at least when it first came out. But now I haven't even listened to Pandora in a few years.
I haven't either.
Like the only reason I listened to Pandora at one point was the Questlove joint.
Yeah. But I mean, it served its purpose very well for a while. But I mean, I don't know if we really need another streaming service.
I think I like the idea. If it's to me, it's along the Patreon model is what it seems like a little bit, you know, but it's including streaming service. It's not even out there. They're trying to launch a Kickstarter or something, but I think there's a place for it, but I can't see it overcoming Apple, Amazon, and Google.
No, I was going to say, it's too much of a,
so what do you think,
too much of a mountain to climb, like get over, like, have like five or six like heavy like sources right now to get people to change everything that they do to go over to this new service. I think that's, you're banking on a lot.
People
to
don't
happen.
Like change.
Well, you can't sell people on what's good for the artist as opposed to what's good for the consumer.
Exactly.
Like I have Tidal. I enjoy it. I like Tidal way more than I like Spotify. But you know, Spotify was here first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people,
Spotify will not let you listen to an album straight through. Well, if you pay for
it,
it does.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
well, if you listen to it, if you listen to it on a computer, you can. If you listen to it on your phone, you can. But on a computer, you can.
And I listen through on my. So I like the way that Tidal lets me, you know, create and curate my own playlist. I don't get to share them with people like you do on. I mean, I guess I could, but most people use Spotify. So yeah. if I you know,
I don't even use Spotify.
That's what I use pretty much because everything's on that and YouTube, obviously.
Yeah. But when all my playlist, everything I run is through Yeah, it's through Tidal. I mean, I got it with my Sprint service, and I'm like, all right, I like the interface, you know, but you can't, but the, they tried to sell it to people. It's like, hey, if you do this, it's better for the artist. Like, I care about, I'm not thinking about the artist. I'm thinking about myself.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing. I mean, if people cared more about the artists and the creators, then we would have more patrons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rather than people that just stream in and just watch, which, hey, we love you guys, but it's just what it is. It's a consumer based, you know, world.
Yeah.
And so if all of our content was behind a paywall, we wouldn't have streaming, you know, because people want it easy to them.
Because Dave Chappelle, doesn't he do that? Just, you can't get the podcast unless you go through the paywall.
The midnight something.
Or midnight miracle or something. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't pay for it, so I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, we're talking about Dave Chappelle, though. So true. Dave Chappelle is in a position.
He ain't us.
Where he can be like, well, I'm just going to release this only to people to pay for it, and that's it. All right. I mean, you're in a position to do that, sir.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's always anomalies. Just like a lot of stuff we talk about, Drake is always an anomaly.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this last topic real quick before we jump the broom.
Who's getting married?
This episode. Solidified as 254.
There we go.
Yeah, bars. Not really. Mm. So yeah, rest in peace to Michael K. Williams.
Yeah, man,
I've been rewatching The Wire. So, okay, on season two.
That's right always now, a good thing to do. You know, whenever you have time.
Yep.
People sleep on the on season two.
That's where I'm at now.
Yeah.
But
once you really get into it, it's actually a solid season.
It's a good one. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like them all for the most
Michael
part.
Michael K. Williams was good in bad movies. I enjoyed him in RoboCop, the remake they did a few years ago.
I didn't even catch it.
Exactly. There's no, if you have not seen it, there's no reason for you to revisit it or visit it at all. But Michael K. Williams, he did his thing in that movie.
Boardwalk Empire, Chalky White.
He was good. I didn't think that show was great.
I really like Boardwalk Empire.
But I liked him in it.
Yeah.
And Love Clark Country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like the king of HBO quietly.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, again, rest in peace to him, which was kind of a shock. Akon has made a statement about Michael K. Williams, which apparently was a good friend of his. And he said that there's too many of us going down like that. And I think when moments like this happen, we got to reflect because we're all going through things in our lives and making decisions that actually affect not only us and our life, but everyone that surrounds us and looks up to us. Now, he's also referencing that was, I believe, what, fentanyl? That was,
that's overdose. The word. I don't, is that the I don't, word? I don't want to say that's definitively.
But that's the rumors that have been going around.
Because like it doesn't, while fentanyl is killing a lot of people out here, you can still OD just doing what you do.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
True. He went on to say the famous and the rich go through more issues than the poor. You know, when they say more money, more problems, that's a real thing. That's where he's getting backlash, and that's what we're going to talk about.
A first world problem. I mean, we're talking about you want to be butthurt for having money and being able to have access to excess. I mean, am I the only one that sees the problem in that? So
no,
you want somebody to feel sorry for you because you have endless amounts of money in order to splurge and do whatever you want.
And you can't manage it?
And you can't manage it, and you may not be happy.
I mean, go to a therapist. I'm sure you can afford it.
I mean, listen, there's poor people that have drug problems.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There's poor people who've overdosed and died from fentanyl. I mean, the fentanyl thing is not new. At the end of the day, these drugs are bad. I understand people do what they do. I'm not knocking you for that, but I mean, you being rich and being able to live a lavish life and do extracurricular activities and possibly die from it.
A different type of problem.
That's a different type of problem. That's not an everyday problem that people are going to sympathize with you about.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean, I'm like you can have a problem, I can have a problem. You can have a problem, I can have a problem. But your problem isn't more than my problem. You know what I mean? Like, your problem isn't more important than my problem. And so just because you have access to money and like you're richer than I am, doesn't make your problem a bigger issue to the world. I mean, it's like you choose what you get into. Like if you're rich, like you just have access to more dangerous, or I'm not even gonna say more dangerous, but just a different type of danger, a different type of like problem that you have or whatever. So poor people die from drugs just like rich people die from drugs or whatever. So like you just have access to a more expensive way to die.
Mm.
That's how I feel.
What do you think?
Look, I've been in situations where, just to put it gently, where I was financially insecure. And
me too.
I needed to get an alternator for my car. Not a fancy car. I just needed an alternator for my car. And because mine had gone out, and this is how I get back and forth to work. And I think it was going to cost me like $350, you know, parts and labor. That was enough to stress me out and have me thinking about how am I going to do this? I got to rob Peter to pay Paul to get this money to fix my alternator. I've been in that situation. And I know some of you listening have been in that situation as well. It's a lot different than someone who says, oh, there is a back order on the brakes for my Bentley. Yes, that's a problem to you and your world, but chances are that Bentley's not your only car.
It's not affecting your livelihood.
It's the difference. You know, I had a friend of mine who's, you know, doing well in his life, and he told me he didn't understand the concept of country clubs until he made a certain amount of money. Because when you make a certain amount of money, the only place to kind of complain about certain things in your life is to other people who have enough money to be at a country club.
Right.
Yeah. Like if you're at a country club and you say something about, oh, yes, there's a back order on the brakes for Bentleys. They'll be like, oh, I understand. Yes, I'm going through that exact same thing. If you tell someone like me,
first world problems,
that you can't
super first world
get brakes for your Bentley, it's like, I got to be careful because I don't have proper health insurance.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear about
Bentley
that.
Problems.
So yeah. When people, and you know, the thing is the access you have, you know, to excess, you know, is completely different because of course there are poor people that have drug problems, but you know,
some of the biggest hustlers in the world are poor people with drug problems.
Exactly.
They're going to get that high by the end of the
day. But when you know you're rich, you might, your man might be the drug dealer. He might want to get next to you. He wants to get you the top notch so he can just hang out with you. You know, so even then, it's not the same kind of problem. If you're just a poor drug addict, nobody wants to hang out with you. You're just a poor drug addict. You know, so when you say that rich people have, look, it's all about perspective. It really is. But at the same time, I don't want to hear about how hard it is to be rich, especially when I know how hard it is to be poor.
That's a trash perspective.
I mean, I've seen some crackheads has been alive for a lot of years. Maybe you need to do a different type of drug.
Well, that's the thing. Like when they talk about
not to make light of it, but I'm just saying.
But this is the thing with this whole fentanyl thing that's happening. Like, dog, you gotta understand these people are not overdosing. They're being poisoned.
Yeah.
So I don't put it into the same, oh, so and so they have fentanyl. Like, no, they're being poisoned.
Listen, yeah, for sure. Listen, there's a long list of people that have died from fentanyl. Prince.
Was that part of his thing?
It was fentanyl in there.
Okay.
Michael Jackson.
It's propofol.
Propofol.
He was doing.
Mac Miller, fentanyl. Who's the comedian that just passed a few weeks ago?
There was a couple of.
Actually, it was like three or four of them.
Yeah.
Fentanyl. It's like,
once again, these people are being poisoned. When you talk about fentanyl, these are not overdoses. These are people being poisoned to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are people essentially being murdered by the people who are selling them whatever it is that they're selling them.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, there's certain. Not, you know, there's certain things that stand on their own.
Prince was taking pain pills.
You don't have to, like, if he's getting the good pain pills, he don't need no extras on it.
Yeah.
He's getting he's Prince. He's probably getting the best of the best. You don't need to put no extras on it.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, this is just a poor statement that.
Especially now when people are, the eviction moratorium is expired, you know, the people's extra benefits as far as their unemployment, that's expired.
Well,
you're going to talk about how rich people got it hard. We don't want to hear that right now.
It's suggesting this idea that because you're poor, it means that, one, you don't go through any issues or that are is equal of value.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And also, it kind of suggests that poor people don't work hard.
It's a narcissistic.
Nobody works thing harder to than say. Poor people. That's the thing. A lot of people don't realize. It's like, oh, you should just work harder. Look, there are poor people who be working 70 hours a week and straight are still
up.
Poor.
Straight up.
Like nothing is more expensive in the United States of America than being poor.
Yeah. Facts.
And he acts like he didn't come from a poor.
That's like, what's crazy. Like
it's like you came from.
He's from Africa, so, and his statement is very American.
Very American.
Especially the part of Africa he's from.
Yeah, well, he says a lot of unnecessary.
He come from a rich family. His daddy didn't have a bunch of money. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you were just there a few years ago.
He was in the worst parts of St. Louis at one point, then the worst parts of New Jersey, and he going to talk about it's so hard being rich in America. Man, you need to sit
down.
Boo-hoo.
I tell you what, share with the new old head some of that money. Let us do a trial of how hard it is to be rich. And we'll get back to you with our research.
I bet you he won't. Like, no rich person to trade places with somebody.
I don't even need you to trade places. Just give us enough money to put us in position.
No moderately comfortable person to trade places with somebody who's poor.
That's telling in itself.
It is.
You know? Yeah. But, well, with that, I guess we're probably pretty close to reaching our
Nope.
So.
A couple minutes out.
Well, that's all right. So, thank you guys for rocking with us for episode 254 through the thunderstorms and the leaking windows. You know, that's what it is. You know, I don't have them Acorn windows.
But you got them poor people problems.
but we'll be back again next week. Make sure you check us out in all the places that you check us out, and make sure you check out our Patreon if you want to support for as little as $3 a month. You know, less than that dollar menu. I mean, it's nobody just gets
one thing off the dollar menu. Now
you're gonna double up
anyway. at least two or three things, but we'll be back next week. Stick around for the post show, and see you then.
Peace. Do it. Peace.